Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Legislative leaders announced today that the legislature will hold the second special session in Juneau in defiance of Governor Mike Dunleavy's choice of Wasilla. They said the four sessions would be in the Capitol, while most of the meetings would be in Anchorage at the Legislative Information Office. State law governing the location of special sessions says that when the governor calls a session, the governor can also choose its location. But Senate President Kathy Geisel and House Speaker Bryce Edgman said in a news release that a majority of both chambers considers it their right to determine the location and venue best equipped to conduct the special session. In the announcement, the leaders cite a section of the Alaska Constitution that the Capitol shall be at Juneau. Geisel and Edgman did not respond to a request for comment by deadline. Dunleavy spokesman Matt Shukero says the legislature's decision not to follow the law on the special session location is part of a pattern.
They have a hard time following the law when it comes to a variety of issues. The PFD, they won't follow the law. When it comes to per diem, we've very clearly seen that they don't want to follow the law. And now when it comes to a special session, they don't want to follow the law.
Dunleavy put one item on the agenda, an appropriation bill to pay the full amount of permanent fund dividends under the 1982 state law, estimated at roughly $3,000. Geisel and Edgman asked the governor to add the capital budget and long-term issues related to the future of the permanent fund to the agenda. Leaders say they believe the legislature should call itself into session, but they're one vote short of the 40 votes needed to do that. Wasilla Republican Representative Colleen Sullivan Leonard says she believes meeting in Juneau would break the law, allowing the governor to choose the location for a session he calls. She says it's a slap in the face of Wasilla residents.
I'm very disappointed that the leadership in the legislature would try to do an end run to move the session away from the Mat-Su Valley.
Sullivan Leonard also says the session should first focus on funding full dividends. Both leaders have expressed concern about drawing down the permanent fund's earnings reserve to pay full dividends. Leaders also are concerned that much of the capital budget isn't funded. They say the state could lose nearly $1 billion in federal highway and aviation projects if the state doesn't finalize the capital budget in July. Dunleavy has said Wasilla is more accessible, but lawmakers have noted that a 2015 session in Anchorage had little public participation, and they've noted that Gavel Alaska is only prepared to televise four sessions in Juneau. The cash-strapped Alaska Marine Highway System plans to tie up its flagship ferry to save money. Today, ferry spokeswoman Ora Landau confirmed that the MV Columbia will not set sail past September 4th.
The vessel will remain out of service for the winter, and the Marine Highway System will assess options for future use of the vessel when it looks at the results of the Marine Highway System economic restructuring analysis.
The 418-foot ferry runs primarily up and down the Inside Passage that connects Lynn Canal communities with Ketchikan, Prince Rupert, British Columbia, and Bellingham, Washington. State plans to assign the ferry's 62 crew members to other vessels. Inland Boatsman Union Regional Director Trina Arnold says the Columbia is known as the queen of the fleet.
A lot of the members that work out there, the crew members that work there, that's, you know, they're out there half their life. That's their home. So it's going to be hard for some of our members to readjust and have to go work somewhere else and not have a steady schedule.
Arnold says there's concern among ferry workers that continued cost-cutting will make it difficult for the Marine Highway to fulfill its core mission as the fleet continues to shrink. Federal regulators are investigating video footage that appears to show a Holland America cruise ship narrowly missing a pod of humpback whales while on its way to Juneau today. In the video posted to Facebook by Brent Kidd Palmer, the cruise ship Eurodam can be seen passing in close proximity to the whales. Palmer could not be reached for comment, but in the video, a voice says they contacted the Eurodam twice to warn them about the approaching whales.
That's the Eurodam. Warned twice and steaming right over the top of a bunch of bubble netting humpbacks.
Under federal law, vessels must maintain a distance of at least 100 yards from humpback whales in Alaska. Julie Spiegel of NOAA Fisheries confirmed the agency's enforcement office is investigating the incident after receiving reports Monday morning.
They have received the video and they're reviewing it, and they have made contact with the cruise company.
In an email, Holland America's Eric Elvejord confirmed that the company is aware of the incident. Holland America Line is a subsidiary of Carnival Corporation. As part of a federal lawsuit settlement, Carnival recently agreed to pay an additional $20 million in fines for probation violations, including illegal dumping in Alaska and elsewhere. In 2018, Holland America's Westerdam reportedly dumped 26,000 gallons of gray water in Glacier Bay National Park. The National Park Service fined Carnival $250. Next month, audiences across America will be introduced to Molly of Denali, the first nationally broadcast children's program to feature an indigenous lead character. WGBH, the public television station that produces the show, held a world premiere event at the University of Alaska Fairbanks on Saturday, where locals got to see 10-year-old Molly Mabry and the rest of the inhabitants of the fictional interior village of Kaya for the first time. Molly is voiced by 14-year-old indigenous actress Sovereign Bill of Auburn, Washington. Bill's Tlingit and Muckleshoot descent. Bill says that even thousands of miles away in Washington State, she still regularly expresses her Alaska Native roots. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early spoke with Bill after the premiere.
We have a dance group that we perform with called Katia in Washington. And so oftentimes we have practices and stuff, and we do regalia making and beading and different activities like that that often draws us back here to Alaska. But sometimes we come to Alaska for a celebration, which is a big Tlingit and kind of festival.
How did you get involved with Molly of Denali?
Well, I participated a little bit in a Native youth acting group called Red Eagle Soaring, and they just sent in auditions, and I just tried it out for experience, and a few other kids did too, and then I got a call back and got it from there.
What was your immediate reaction when you found out you were going to be Molly?
I was very excited. I was kind of shocked. I didn't really know too much about it then, but I was super excited, and I just kind of skipped through my house and tried to tell all my family and everything.
As a young indigenous woman, do you find that you see yourself reflected in the TV shows you watch and the movies you see?
Well, no, I don't see that we are reflected or represented well in many of the films throughout history or the movies like Pocahontas or Peter Pan that are shown to young kids and that show a very stereotypical and very untrue representation of Native Americans. So, but now that Molly of Denali is coming out, then there is starting to become the representation, and that's why it's groundbreaking, and it's not only showing good representation of all Native Americans, but it's showing specifically Alaskan Natives and showing the difference between just the usually thought of headdress and the Plains Indians, and so it's showing the different variety as well.
How would you describe Molly to someone who hasn't seen the show?
Molly is just a very energetic and bright and persevering character. She always wants to do something and keep going, and if something doesn't quite go right in her perfect plan that she thinks of, she just keeps on going and just asks for information if she needs it, and she really wants to know the knowledge too, and that's what kind of is brought up in the Native Names episode, where her Native name is One Who Informs Us, and so that's very big characteristic as well.
That was Sovereign Bill, the lead actress for PBS and WGBH's Molly of Denali, speaking with Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early. Molly of Denali premieres on PBS stations nationwide on July 15th. An Alaska summer baseball squad is being threatened by financial troubles. The Peninsula Clarion reported Saturday that the Peninsula Oilers summer collegiate baseball team is in jeopardy as it struggles to secure funding. The team has won 3 National Baseball Congress World Series titles and seen 125 of its top college prospects move to major leagues after playing at Coral Seymour Memorial Park in Kenai. The team is in its 46th consecutive season, but a decline in the Oilers' major finance sources puts its future in question. The team's president says the Oilers took in only $55,000 from gambling at its bingo hall and $35,000 from sponsorships in 2018. He says that the situation looks bleak right now. And water levels on the Taku River are rising after an apparent glacial dam release within the last several days. The Taku River is expected to crest Tuesday morning at 42 feet, just under minor flood stage. Nicole Farron, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Juneau, asks boaters to use caution. Rising water level will bring more debris and much colder water.
Quite a lot colder than usual. So if you were to perhaps fall in the river, there'd be more risk of hypothermia.
Farron says the glacial dam release occurred on a lake that drains under the Tulsaqua Glacier on the Canadian side of the border. There are no observation stations around that glacier, so the Weather Service is asking local pilots to report any signs of change in the area. Meanwhile, the National Weather Service is also monitoring water levels in Suicide Basin on the eastern edge of Mendenhall Glacier. The basin regularly becomes a glacially dammed lake. When the dam gives way, it could send as much as 20,000 cubic feet of water under the glacier and potentially flood Mendenhall Lake and Mendenhall River. And weather conditions at last check at Juneau International Airport, 69 degrees, mostly cloudy. And that is the KTOO News Update for Monday, June 24th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.